Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Women Patriots. I'm Brenda Ward, your host, coming to you live from Indiana. And you're listening to us on conservativenationradio.org. Tonight, we got a special lineup for you. We have Mr. Emery McClendon, U.S. United States Air Force retired, Tea Party patriot, Tea Party leader, founder of RMED.net, which has to do with veterans. He's going to tell us all about that. He's going to be on the show very shortly. We are giving away a DVD tonight of Runaway Slave. So keep listening for that. We'll have a certain caller, and that caller will actually win a free DVD video of that show. And it is an excellent, excellent documentary, and I recommend that everybody watch it. It gives you some very good insights. We also will have Thomas Smith joining us to do a little benediction, as this is the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. But tonight, I'm going to start with a rant, because I haven't actually had to have a rant in several weeks. And so I've got stuff bottled up. And there are just so many things we could rant about, including the president's inauguration speech yesterday, where somehow, I don't know, that if we build roads, the businesses will come philosophy. If he's really serious, how you can say that with a straight face, I don't know. But my rant tonight is about this gun grab by the liberals and by the president of the United States. And this isn't something that has happened in response to Sandy Hook, because Senator, whatever her face is, from California, had this in the works for 2 years. They were waiting for the time to play it. And if you look into the background of all these mass shooters who went into the theater, who shot Gabby Gifford, who shot these little children, they were all Democrats. One of them hated Bush, and they're anti-Christian. So what we need to ban is Democrats, because obviously they're the ones that aren't responsible and like to kill people. And I can bet you that most of the crimes that happen in Chicago happen by Democratic voters. I'm just going to go on out on a limb and say that. You know, the gun-free Chicago, where they had over 500 gun murders last year. Yeah, I'm going to say we need to ban Democrats. You want to be serious about gun control? Ban the Democrats and ban gun-free zones. But I'm going to take you back to history, because history repeats itself. And if you don't pay attention to history, you end up repeating it. And we're repeating it here and now. And I'm not just going to go back to Thomas Jefferson or John Adams or Madison, even though those would be enough to tell us how our founding fathers felt about armed citizenry. I'm going to go back to Cicero, Marcus Tullius Cicero, and this first statement kind of encompasses not only gun control, but what we're living through in this nation right now and in the present. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whisperings rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to the victims, and he wears their face in their arguments, and he appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politics so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. The traitor is the plague. And that was a speech in the Roman Senate in 58 BC. And we're going to go on down here and go to Aristotle, who says, tyranny derives from the oligarchy's mistrust of the people. Hence, they deprive them of arms, ill-treat the lower class, and keep them from residing in the capital. These are common to oligarchy and tyranny. That's Aristotle. That is in page 218 of Sinclair's translation of Aristotle in Politics. And also, Aristotle says, it is also in the interest of a tyrant to keep his people poor, so that they may not be able to afford the cost of protecting themselves by arms, and be so occupied with their daily tasks that they have no time for rebellion. Now, those three passages I just read right there ought to scare every American out of their shoes, their boots, and their bed, and actually wake up some dead cells in the brains of these people who for some reason think government's going to solve it all. Those were written long before our time, long before America was established, and yet they talk of what's going on in our country this very day. Now, let's just go back because to say, okay, well, we don't want to listen to, you know, these old philosophers because they're old, dead people because, it's, you know, they're irrelevant. Like they're trying to make our founding fathers and our Constitution. It's not relevant. Well, let's go back to Thomas Jefferson, and he's writing to James Madison in 1788. I hope, therefore, a Bill of Rights will be formed to guard the people against the federal government. Okay. Guns are not for hunting. Guns are not just for protecting yourself at home. They are to defend against the federal government, as they are already guarded against their state governments in most instances. Now, he specifically says the Bill of Rights will guard the people against the government. Well, what is the Bill of Rights? Well, the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment is the freedom of speech and freedom of religion, which they are now attacking from the government level. And the second Bill of Rights is the right to bear arms. This was not in 1788. And then he goes on to say, this is another time period. The constitutions of most of our states and of the United States assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves, that it is their right and duty to be at all times armed, that they are entitled to freedom of person, freedom of religion, freedom of property, and freedom of the press. Now, there are several issues we could address in here, like property taxes, which we don't have freedom of our property because we have to pay taxes. And if we don't have pay taxes on the property that we own, they can come and take it from you. And that's for another time. We got much bigger problems than to actually delve back into all these. You know, right now they're coming for our guns. And that happened in Germany. If you want more history, people, just go look it up. Comprehensive gun control. Everybody had to register their guns. Well, then the government knew where all the guns were when they wanted to come and get them. Okay, the source for that last letter was a letter from Thomas Jefferson to John Cartwright in 1824. You can check this out for yourself, people. You don't have to take my word for it. Samuel Adams. The said Constitution shall never be construed to authorize Congress to infringe the just liberty of the press or the rights of conscience, that's the religion clause, or to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms. Again, Samuel Adams, 1788. Excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold, so I'm I have to take a drink there. Anyway, I'm going to shorten this a little bit. I could go on. I have more quotes, but I'm having some trouble with my voice and my cough. So I'm just going to kind of shorten that right there, because that should be enough right there to tell you that limiting our guns or even the magazines of our guns is not constitutional, because they are to protect us from the government. Government, yes, they have tanks and all kinds of things. You know, and if you want to get technical, yeah, I could own a tank because that's the kind of arms the government has. I should be able to own the same kind of arms to protect myself. But common sense tells you that's not what we're talking about here. Nobody's asking to own a tank. We want to keep our rifles, which are not assault weapons. They are rifles, not fully automatic rifles. The only thing about them is you have a little clip that will hold maybe 20, 30 bullets, so you don't have to reload after every shot. Okay, it's not an assault weapon. The weapon assaults nobody. But they want to take us down to 7 bullets. 7 bullets. Now let's think about that. My husband has a 9mm, has a 15-round clip. That's not an assault weapon. It's not an assault rifle. It was not used in Sandy Hook. But it would take that weapon away from him. So they are not just coming for some assault-type weapon. They are coming for our guns. And I'm going to tell you, 7 bullets isn't going to do you much good against a gang. You know, what if there's 3 or 4 of them attacking you and you've got 7 bullets and that's it? You can't even defend your home for that, let alone defend against government tyranny. And folks, that is my rant for tonight, and I'm glad you took the moment to listen to that. And I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Barbara Buffing. Hey, Barbara.
Well, hello. Thanks for the rant.
I know.
And history. Appreciate that.
I was getting
that.
Wound up, too, and I can't actually go on. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. I heard your frustration, and you know, you're hitting the nail right on the head with a lot of things. Now, I'm sure everybody already knows that New York did the 7-bullet thing, and they're so stupid because they didn't exclude the cops.
Because they were rushing. And
right,
the founding
exactly.
Fathers, which is another point, we could go back to our founding fathers, never rushed to make a decision on something that could affect your great-grandchildren. Yet they're rushing. Oh, we've got to save the children. Well, you know what? Put guards in the schools. It will save your children. Every one of these crimes happens in a gun-free zone. Okay? Put your guards there. That's all you got to do. You know, that's all you got to do. It's too simple, I guess. It doesn't fit their narrative. Anyhow, quickly, I assume that you're listening here that you are conservatives and you like all things conservatives in our America and the Constitution. And if that's the case, you're going to want to a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts to flags. And we have your pipeline to that good stuff on our side at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to the website, click on Patriot Depot banner, and there to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolutionary needs. Wave your flag. Go ahead. Proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Go to conservativenationradio.org. Click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution and real conservative for real conservatism. Okay, well, guys, we're going to just take a quick little break here, and then I'm going to bring on my very special guest tonight. It's going to be Emery McClendon from the Tea Party Patriots. And let me just quickly play the clip.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kixbrook.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooke.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a 4-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive drunk.
And I got a 3-letter word for you as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence.
Get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, The Beauty and the Brain, on conservativenationradio.org.
Tea Party patriots and fellow Americans, we gather here in St. Louis today as individuals who share the common purpose of restoring America back to its founding principles and to prepare ourselves to recycle government. We are not a party, but a people united on the principles of limited government, lower taxes, capitalism, the Constitution, and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Hello?
Hey, Emery.
We must preserve the foundation and the path our founders laid to this great nation, remembering what Thomas Jefferson said, that nation, or that government that governs least, best governed least.
And that, folks, is Emery McClendon. Hi, Emery. This is Brenda Ward. And my co-host is Barbara Buffing.
Hi, Emery.
Hi. How are you guys doing tonight?
We are doing well.
I'm good.
How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing fine. It's cold.
Yes, it is bad. We've been talking about that all day. So, well, Emery, I was just playing a little clip of you speaking at one of the Tea Party events that you do across the nation. But why don't you just tell the folks a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your RMED.net.
Okay, yeah, I'm Emery McClendon, and I'm 61 years old. I live in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I was born in Fort Wayne, Indiana, born and raised here. And I've always been a very conservative person, but I just didn't know it because I hadn't had a chance to sit down and go over all of my conservative values and what I believed in until around 1978 to 1979. Then I solidified all of my conservative values, and I began to speak out and stand up for America, our Constitution. And I really got vocal and into it probably around 2000. And after that, I began to go to public places and speak out, do things in honor of our troops and our veterans, because I think that they deserve all the honor and appreciation that we can show them, because they protect our freedoms. And then I got involved in the Tea Party movement on that very same day that the rant was made about we need to have a tea party. And I got a call, and they asked me, hey, we heard that you were involved in a lot of stuff with our troops, a lot of stuff with defending America, and we'd like to have you start a tea party in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So I decided to do that, and I held the first Tea Party event in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We had Alan Keyes as our keynote speaker, and we had a large crowd. We had the second largest Tea Party in the state of Indiana, one of the largest ones in the nation, and it's all been going, downhill from there. I try to do as much as I can with the Tea Party groups here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and in the state of Indiana, and I travel to wherever I'm called around the country to speak at Tea Party events and to let people know that it's not about race, it's not about color, but it's about being an American and defending our Constitution, standing up for what's right, because that's the only way that America is going to survive, especially with the direction that we see our country going in today.
Oh, absolutely. Agree.
Amen.
100% there. So, now, you do a CB thing for the vets, and that's your RMED.net, correct?
Right. It's amateur radio. It's a ham radio, for the acronym, for most people who understand what that is. It's a lot different, I guess, from CB, in that ham radio involves receiving a license to operate, and we can travel over the airwaves a lot greater distances than CB radio. And there's rules and there's regulations, and it's a very courteous and just a hobby that's a great hobby, because you could talk to people all around the world. So what happened with that was one day I was riding around, and I heard on a radio station that Glenn Beck had started some rallies to honor our troops, and they wanted to know how they could make their event better, because they wanted to bring one here in Fort Wayne without spending a whole lot of money to let the troops hear what was going on and how we could communicate perhaps with the troops. So I called into the radio station and told them that I was an amateur radio operator and that I would be willing to set up amateur radio operators right here in Fort Wayne, and also try to get others around the country to set up in their cities and around military bases, so that we can let the troops hear us live and also communicate back to the people that attended those rallies around the country. And at first they didn't think the idea would work, but shortly after hanging up on me, they called me back and said, hey, we liked your idea and we'd like for you to try it. And so we had an event here in Fort Wayne. Actually, it was in Auburn, Indiana, at the Cruz Auction Center, where they have a military museum. And they show a lot of honor to troops up there. We set up some amateur radio equipment, had operators. We got people from around the world to participate with us. And as the Glenn Beck rally was going on, which is one of the largest rallies in the country, was held right here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We had Navy ships, we had military bases, we had veterans, and we had other military units from around the world on the air. We let our people that attended our rally talk to those troops, talk to those ships, hear what they had to say about hearing us show them appreciation and honor, and that gave birth to me going with the national rally with Glenn Beck to West Virginia. And then after that, I came home and decided to start Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day and make it an annual event here in Fort Wayne and around the world. And it has we've had the event now 8 out of the last 10 years. And this year we're planning another one. We're going to have our 10th event, and we're planning on making it bigger and bigger and better. And we just want other communities to join in with us, to let our troops, our veterans, and our first responders know that we thank you and appreciate you for your service, and to let them know that we stand behind them.
Well, that sounds like that's quite an endeavor, actually, and quite a great endeavor, actually, that they know that we're still thinking about them while we're here stateside. So, everybody, this is Emery McClendon, and you're listening to Women Patriots on Conservative Nation Radio. If you want to call in, have a question, the number is 1-718-305-7176. Again, 718-305-7176. If you have any questions at all that you'd like to call in. And it's also, Emery, you were in the movie Runaway Slave, had a little part in that. Did you know C.L. Bryan before that, or did you hook up at, you know, this the mall there in Washington? Or tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, after I had the big rally here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, I was notified by the people in Indianapolis of the Indianapolis Tea Party that they needed someone to speak at some of their events. So I decided, hey, yes, you know, we're in Indiana, and I like to do everything that I can to help my fellow patriots here in Indiana. So I went to several events in Indiana, and at one of those events, they had asked C.L. Bryan to come and speak. So he came and spoke, and we met each other. And we became friends, and we talked about a lot of things. And one of the things he talked about was, one of these days I'd like to make a movie. So I told him, I said, hey, if you ever do, you've got another fellow black conservative here that would be more than willing to help you out in anything that you do, just let me know. So lo and behold, a few months later, I got a call to come to Atlanta, Georgia, and be a part of a Tea Party Patriots training session for local coordinators. And while at that training session in Atlanta, Georgia, the film crew was there for C.L. Bryant's movie, Runaway Slave. And they came and talked to me and said, hey, we would like to ask you some questions and talk to you and tape you and so forth. And we're thinking about making a movie, and we'd like to have you be a part of it. I said, okay. So they took me in this room, and I'm telling you, they grilled me for probably 45 minutes to an hour, asking different questions and whatnot. And it was really an experience, because I'd never been under that many lights and the cameras and all that. And they said, but we'll let you know if you make the cut. And so a few months later, I got a call, and they said, you made the cut, and we're going to make the movie. And the next time we see you, we'll make some more tapes of you and film you some more. And that next time came about in St. Louis at the big regional rally that they had for Tea Party Patriots. They had one rally in Washington, D.C. There was one in St. Louis, and I forgot where the other one was. It was somewhere out in the West. And they filmed me under the arch, and they filmed me as I made my speech up on the stage. And as I made that last line that I always say in all my speeches, freedom and liberty, use them or lose them, they said, we want to use that in the movie. And I said, fine, you know, there's no problem at all with that. And so they did. And then they asked me some more questions, and I spoke and talked, and they used one of the questions that they asked about the Founding Fathers in that movie. It's a great movie because it talks about the plight of not only black Americans and the trail of slavery and how the government has enslaved the black people and held them down, but also everyone in America is now being held hostage to the government because of entitlements and so forth. So if you get a chance to see that movie, it's a great movie to open up your eyes to a lot of things that are going on that you may not have been aware of.
Yeah, and
well,
go ahead, Barbara.
I did see the movie yesterday, and it was, I thought it was phenomenal. It was very enlightening, and very, it does explain a lot. And you're absolutely right. We're not better off. You know, being that yesterday was Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, we're not living his dream. Nobody in America is living his dream today because of what is going on in Washington. And it really makes me sad. But I did have a quickie question for you. When you mentioned you were in a Tea Party event in Washington and the Occupy DC was there?
Yes.
And they were kind of attacking everybody, assaulting people as they were leaving, trying to leave. Did the police ever show up?
Oh, yeah, the police were there. And as a matter of fact, they had a large presence out there. But it seemed like the occupiers were so far out of control that the police really didn't know what course of action to take. And they got out of hand, really out of hand. They had they were very organized. They had little children that they were using as shields, and they placed those kids in front of the entranceways so that if we opened the doors to try to get out, we would hit those kids with the doors. We couldn't get out. And they provoked, of course. They were throwing rocks and whatnot at the windows, and they had you know, there's the little sticks and whatnot, and they had their video cameras, and they were taping, and they were trying to provoke us to do something that would actually turn the police on us. And as they had barricaded the building and blocked us in, they were threatening, of course. And the thing that really puzzled me more than anything is that there were a lot of elderly people at this event. It was an Americans for Prosperity event. It was a dinner. And the Americans for Prosperity event was one that they have every year where they honor Ronald Reagan as president. And so there's a lot of elderly people that come to that event. And those were the ones that they were picking on the most. And as they left the building, they would attack them and hit them with objects and whatnot. And a lot of them were trying to get away. And us younger people who were there, who were trying to get out to help and defend them, couldn't get out of the building. So it was really quite an experience. And I tell you, to actually have been there and witnessed that, it was my first time witnessing, you know, one of the Occupy Wall Street events. And it was very enlightening as to how they operated.
Wow. Really sad that, it's really sad that people that follow the law and the rules don't get the justice, but the few that, like the occupiers, they get away with it. Something's wrong with this picture.
Well, and we got to take a quick break here, but we'll be right back because I have a few more questions for Emery. And if you have any questions for Emery, you can give us a call at 1-718-305-7176. You are listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. And we also have a Texan and a Tennessean on every Sunday with Soldiers of Patriotism. That would be Uncle Bing and Michael B. Smith every Sunday from 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. New year, new schedule on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatives for real conservatives. And you want to be sure and catch those guys. They're quite entertaining.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health.
You're listening to Women Patriots with Brenda Ward on conservativenationradio.org.
Okay, and again, you're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. Our guest this evening is Emery McClendon, and I understand you're not retired from the Air Force. You're actually in the reserves, correct?
No, that's I'm not retired from the Air Force. I did 4 years active duty.
Okay.
Then I got out, and I was out for about 6 months or so, maybe not even 6 months. It might have been about 4 or 5 months. And I decided I hadn't done enough for the country, so I decided to join the Indiana Air Guard. So I joined the Indiana Air Guard, and I did 2 more years. During that 2 more years, I was deployed again, went overseas again, and I came back. And when I came back, they found out that I had had a surgery while on active duty, and they told me I could no longer serve in the Indiana Air Guard because I had a possible disability conflict. And lo and behold, about a few months later, I got a letter from Washington, D.C. that I had been declared 10% disabled by the Veterans Administration because of the surgery. I had had a tonsillectomy while serving in the regular Air Force about 2 years in, and during that surgery, the doctor who performed the surgery had basically cut my throat, and I almost bled to death. I bled for 2 days, and they actually stopped the bleeding, but it started again. It kept going on and on and on and off and on and off and on. And it affected my speech, as sometimes when I talk, I lose my voice and so forth. So they decided to award me a disability. Well, you can't serve in the military on active duty or in the reserves with a disability. So they labeled me a disabled veteran, and they told me I had to leave, so I left. So I served 6 years. So I'm not actually in the reserves at this time, and I did not retire, but I am a lifetime member of the Disabled American Veterans Group.
And we thank you for that service. And I do want to go back to the Occupy thing. Because
thank you.
Emery, doesn't it make you angry when we have been labeled terrorists by our government? You see that memo came out from Janet Napolitano that the constitutional conservatives and the veterans returning from the wars were to be on the terrorist suspect list?
Yes, I did. And that was very disturbing. And not only that, but they also included, you know, Tea Party people mm-hmm. and others who are sympathetic to the Constitution and who believe in the Constitution. And by placing veterans on that list, I mean, that's a very serious allegation to make, because the people that I served with in the military were proud of what they were doing, and they were proud of this country. And to put people of that caliber on a list stating that you're terrorists simply because you believe in the founding fathers and in the founding principles of this nation, that's an effrontery. And to say that people who peacefully marched on Washington, D.C., over 1 million strong, to say no to health care, to say no to destroying our Constitution, to say that those people are terrorists because they believe in the founding principles of this country, and they want to see America remain strong, and they want to see a future for our children, that's an effrontery also. And I think people need to wake up, because they are slowly taking our rights and our freedoms away from us one by one. And it's like putting a frog into a kettle and warming it up. And the pot will be so hot that you'll eventually cook yourself, they'll cook us to death before you even realize that you were even cooked. And we have to wake up. We have to remember that this is America. This is a nation like no other nation upon this earth. We enjoy our freedoms. We enjoy our liberties. And there are people out here that really believe in these principles and liberties. And we shouldn't be labeled as terrorists or as bad people, because we're here to continue to make America strong and to make America a nation that we can be proud of.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I was just as frustrated with you, but knowing that you were actually there and seeing how these occupiers were working and the things that they were doing, and yet I don't think they're on the list. They were praised by our government. You know, it's just going to be the most frustrating thing.
That was really the bad part of it, is when you read in the newspaper about how different ones in our administration praised the occupiers. They said that they were like them and that they reflected the true values of America. But yet at the same time, they were saying that the Tea Party people were zealots, that we were dishonorable and so forth, and that we were violent. There was not one single incident at any of the Tea Party events. And I have been to a lot of Tea Party events. Washington, D.C., Nevada, you know, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, other states, all over the place, and not one time did I see any act of violence by any of the Tea Party movement people. And not only that, but there was just so much unity and love displayed, and when they left the location that they were at, the location was cleaned up better than what it was when they arrived. And that's one of the things that really moved me. When we had our event here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, we policed the area, picked up all the cigarette butts and all the paper that was there when we arrived. And when we left, we did the same thing again to make sure that place was pristine when we left. We also were very peaceful. We didn't trample the grass down and tear up the place or anything like that. We had a lot of respect for our surrounding. We held our event on the courthouse ground here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and there was just so much respect held at that location. The same thing in Indianapolis when I was down there at the State House 2 years in a row and spoke at their event in front of all those thousands of people. They were so courteous, so law-abiding. We had policemen there because it was a requirement, but a lot of them were very, very praiseable of us and how we acted. And they made comments about some of the events that they'd gone to that had been on the other side, where the people just trashed the places and so forth, and that they had little respect for them. We thanked the police officers. We gave them drinks and things like that because it was hot. But you don't hear about that in the media.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? The bias.
That's what
we
have to change. We have to change that. The tool
and
working on changing.
But how can we change that? I mean, Emery, what can we do? Because I know, especially in this movie, the Runaway Slave, you know, they are basically indoctrinating a whole generation of young Black America, and they're actually inciting anger against the Tea Party. And that's why we get called racist all the time when we're not. And what can we do about that? Is there something we can do about that? Or how do we change that narrative?
We have to realize, first of all, that the media is not on our side.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that we continue to give them a good picture of what we do. Because if we decide that all of a sudden we want to change our tactics to become violent or anything like that, they're going to play up on that also. So as long as we continue to be who we are and what we are, that puzzles them. I've had several news people come to me and say, you people are always the same. You people, regardless of what we say about you and what we do and portray you in the media, you never change. You're not letting us get next to you, quote unquote. And that's true. And we have to continue that. But at the same time, we have to educate. And we have to let the other side know exactly who we are. We realize, and I realize that many of the people on the other side have been indoctrinated against our Constitution, against our freedom and our liberty. They don't know the history of this country. They don't know the Blacks, especially don't know real true Black history. And some of the things about what has happened and which party was on their side, which party did the most for them as far as the Civil Rights Act, the KKK, or any other of these things in history. Even our children of today, they're being brainwashed in our schools as to not be patriotic. They're not given true history. So we have to change those things. We have to teach our children, our grandchildren, and those who we come in contact with, and let them know the truth, because you cannot fight facts with lies. So when we tell them the facts, when we let them know what the truth is, it incites them to go back and take a second look. And I found that to be very, very true in some of the contacts that I've came in contact with, some of the people I've came in contact with. They come back after I see them maybe a first or second time and say, hey, you were right. Thank you. Thank you for enlightening me. Because most black people especially realize that the training that they received in their homes fit true American values. The training that they hear in their churches, the preaching that they hear in their churches, fits right in with conservatism, but they just didn't know it.
Because they've been told differently.
That's right.
And nobody's ever, you know, we don't interact in that. Well, I'm in Fort Wayne too, Emery, as you know, and I don't go downtown very much because everything I need's on the outskirts of town, you know, and I'm all, obviously, I think Fort Wayne's a pretty good city to live in as far as, yes, we do have our crimes and that kind of thing, but I don't think we see it on the scale that we might see in some of the bigger cities. But, you know, you just don't always interact to have those discussions. So
That's true.
Okay, well, the number to call, if you have got any questions, we have Emery McClendon, Tea Party Patriot, is 1-718-305-7176. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to give away, I'm going to, a free DVD of The Runaway Slave. I'm going to give it to the third caller because I'm not monitoring my Twitter at this point in time. So when we come back after the trailer, I'll give you a go, third caller. You're going to get yourself a free copy of The Runaway Slave movie, which actually sold out the first time they offered it, and they had to order more in. So that's a good sign. That's a good sign that we're going to be reaching some people. So we'll be right back.
Yes, backwatered.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Real women, real ladies with real smarts. You're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. We do conservatism right.
Okay, and we're back live with Emery McClendon. Tea Party Patriot, actually movie star from Runaway Slave. I am going to play the call-in numbers 1-718-305-7176. I'm going to play the trailer, third caller. You're going to get a free DVD of the movie.
United States of America is built on white supremacy and racism.
America is the freest country the human race has ever known.
This is a country that is divided. We're going to have social unrest.
Wake up, America. Tell me why you're great. Who holds your liberty? Who holds your freedom?
I'm C.L. Bryant, and I am a runaway slave.
We made a lot of progress, but we're not going to let you turn back the clock.
What these people are race hustlers. That's how they derive their power, by making them believe that the white man has the foot on their neck.
White people have allowed themselves to be intimidated by the so-called civil rights leaders. If they disagree with black people, then they are racist.
This is the kind of stuff that causes trouble. You're digging in a wound that's trying to heal.
The Tea Party is racist?
Yes.
They are the enemy, man. They are the enemy.
We know how to sucker punch you, because we just begun to fight.
Somehow down racial lines, we're still divided. The question has to be why.
Okay, and I have two callers. I'm looking for caller number three. Who do I have at 931?
That'd be me.
Who's that, Bing?
Yeah, it's Uncle Bing. How you doing?
I'm good. Do you have any questions for Emery?
Hi, Uncle Bing.
Hey, how you doing? Hi, Emery. Look, man, I don't have a question for you. The only thing I can say is keep on going. Because you're making waves, man. You're doing good things, great things. And, that's the whole focus behind everything that we're doing. You know, we can sit there. You can't sit there and listen to the liberals and how they act and how they want to portray us, because they've already got us buried in the grave. You know what I mean? With they're getting their shovels out ready to throw dirt on us. So I'm just saying, man, just keep on trucking. Keep on going. Keep on doing what you're doing, because you're doing great things.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I don't plan to give up, because, as much as they say and as much as they want to portray us as a dead movement, as a movement that's sliding off the side of the cliff, the Tea Party movement is alive and well, and we're not going anywhere. And we are really responsible for holding this nation together during the last 4 years under the Obama administration, because if there was no resistance, just think where we would be today.
Oh, definitely, man. And I'll tell you what, look, we've got 4 years now of Obama Unleashed. You know, that, somebody ought to make like a video series of that, like, you know, them girls that used to, you know, dance around naked. I mean, you know, this is like, you know, Obama Unleashed, and we got 4 years of this coming up, man. I mean, the guy's already talking about amnesty for illegals. He's already talking about circumventing the Constitution. Well, he's already done it. He's talking about, you know, gun control laws and all of these things. We're giving money to terrorists in Egypt, and we're giving planes and Abrams tanks and so on to terrorists in Egypt, and we're sitting there worried about guns. We got Fast and Furious. We got a lot of things that we need to clean up, man. I'm telling you, a lot of things.
You bring up some very interesting points. And one thing that I would add to that is on this 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, we talk about guns, we talk about protecting children in our schools, but hey, what about protecting the unborn?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yep,
absolutely. Exactly. And later in the show, Padre Thomas is going to call in and give us a little benediction, because he is our heavily pro-life, he has pro-life shows here on Blog Talk Radio. So he's going to call in a little bit later in the program to help us out with that segment. I'm still looking for caller number three. I do have Ron on the line who has a comment. So, Ron, go ahead.
Well, just want to say thank you for what you do, Emery. We, you know, we in the Tea Party, we get so tired of being called racist. I mean, you know, if you don't know much about the traditional American movement, but we had a consensus, and you know, and we were almost 100% behind our only black candidate in the primaries. And it just killed us to have them run at us and tell us all the time we were racist. I mean, I just don't get it. You know, the liberals seem to they do one thing better than any conservatives ever do. And down to the bottoms of their feet, they will say the same things when the same things are said to them. They cannot answer in any other way. I don't know how they do that. They must sleep with a tape in their ears all night long.
that's very funny, because you're absolutely right. And one of the things that I've been quizzed by a lot of the media, a lot of times they'll bring in the black conservative and they'll try to trip us and trap us up and so forth, and try to make us tell stories about the Tea Party and about the different things that are going on. about them being racist, but I can honestly say that in the 4 years, a little over 4 years that I have been going around to the different Tea Party movements, going to places where I go and speak, talking to people, I have not uncovered one shred of evidence of any racism. I've written articles. I've had them submitted to different newspapers around the country, including some in Atlanta, Chicago, and I've talked about the incidences of the Tea Party and how these people and us, you know, me included, we are united based on principle, not upon color. And how they can continue to come up with these things really puzzles me also. I'll give you a little story. There is a city that's a little bit south of me here in Indiana. One day I was minding my own business, and one of my friends called and says, hey, they're going to have a rally in this town, and would you like to ride down there with me? And I said, yeah, I'd be more than happy to go. I said, where is it? And he said, Alexandria, Indiana. And I go, whoa! I said, Alexandria? I said, man, that's the home and birthplace of the Ku Klux Klan in Indiana. I said, I'm not sure if I want to go. And I said, but hey, why not? I said, because if these people believe in America the way I believe in America, I think it'll be okay. So we went. And when we got there, nobody turned around to look and see that it was me. Nobody made any comments. As a matter of fact, during the rally that they held, of course, I was the only black person there, which is no problem. I had no problem with that. But the thing of it is they invited me up front and asked me if I had anything to say. And I got up and I told them my little spiel about patriotism, what I believed about America, and why I was here. And that place broke out into an applause, and they asked me to come back and speak, and I did come back and speak again later on. And I'm telling you, I also was invited just this past summer to a city that's in the same county called Pendleton, Indiana, and you guys might have heard about that town. That's a pretty rough little place, too, back in the 60s and before, with antagonistic things toward black people. But never did I encounter anything, and I was very, very, I felt very welcome. As a matter of fact, they gave me a trophy, and they gave me a plaque to hang on my wall, and I'm telling you, it was just remarkable, remarkable. And they had one of the largest crowds that they ever had turn out at one of their events by making me the keynote speaker. So I tell the media to put that in your pipe and smoke it.
There you go.
Hey, Emery, I have another caller, Michael, who wants to ask a question. But real quick, I'm going to give you this number, folks. The next caller who calls in gets a free copy of the Runaway Slave movie. This is an awesome, phenomenal movie. It gives you a lot of insight on what's going on in our country and hopefully will give us a clue to what we need to do to combat it. Phone number to call in is 1-718-305-7176. Okay, go ahead, Michael.
Hey, ladies. How y'all doing? Great job tonight. Emery, thank you for joining Conservative Nation Radio. Best movie of 2012 to anyone that's listening, Runaway Slave. I did a blog piece on it the night of seeing it on its premiere release here in Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I got to tell you, I was floored. I was ashamed. I was mad. I was upset. It was the very best movie. It was even far better than Obama's America by our buddy Dinesh D'Souza. But anyway, Emery, I had an opportunity last night as a side gig from Conservative Nation Radio. I have a friend that I do a late Monday night show with. It's called Conservatives Coast to Coast. And we had Stanley Mack on last night from Alabama 7, which was Artur Davis's district. And very interesting conversation, much like tonight. And my question to Stanley and my question to you is, as a black conservative, how can you best instruct or help us as white conservatives? And, you know, I really hate to have to even go here with this, but it's a situation where I guess when I'm in my passion, probably coming across as though I'm attacking someone who's a black Democrat. Let me give you an example. Down here in Dallas, in District 30, we have a Congress lady by the name of Eddie Bernice Johnson. You might be familiar with her. A couple of great men primaried against her. The winner was Taj Clayton, an outstanding black conservative here in the community. And she won, yet despite the fact that she or her campaign or people within her campaign, maybe not her personally, bilked money and gave it to, we know for a fact, to grandchildren of hers, children of her staffers, that was money meant for scholarships for underprivileged youths in the economically challenged areas, which are predominantly black in the Dallas area. And knowing this, her constituency knowing that she gave money to affluent children as opposed to children in the community that could use that to further their education and move themselves off of welfare to workfare or better and to enjoy a good life and enjoy the principles of conservatism, which I think you and I would agree is colorblind. We just want less taxes, less government, stay the hell out of our lives. Yet I guess we don't convey the message in a way that is acceptable. Does that make sense, Emory?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you also have to realize, too, that message is one that they haven't heard. And the reason why they haven't heard that message is because they're taught by, and I call them the predators in the pulpit. This is your Al Sharpton, your Jesse Jackson, and others, your Jeremiah Wrights. They're taught by these predators that you need the government. You must rely upon the government. And without the government, you don't know which direction to turn. When you have someone preaching that to you, all of your childhood days, all of your middle teenage days, and then on into your adult days, it's hard to get that thought out of your head. That's what we have to do as conservatives. We have to reprogram these people, and we have to start with them at a very early age and say, hey, look, I believe, and you should believe, in individual responsibility. You have to believe in free markets and the enterprise. You have to believe that the Constitution was written for all of us and that there's equal opportunity, not equal results, but equal opportunity for all. And if you put your shoulder to the wheel, you push and you grind, you can make it. You can make it because the opportunity is there for everyone. America is a country that opens up opportunity for no matter who you are, no matter what race you are. If you have the will, if you have the drive, if you have the whereabouts within yourself to do good, you can and you will make it. The proof of that is by Mr. Barack Obama being elected president. A lot of people, they didn't elect him in the president because of all of the things that he believed in, but they also looked at his color and they said, hey, this is an opportunity for history to be made in America. We'll elect him because he's black, you know, and because we wanted to see this happen in history. So, but we also have to realize that there are principles and that there are things that come with this. You just don't vote for someone simply because of their color. You just don't vote for someone simply because that they look like me or they look like you, but you also have to have some sound principle. You have to know what they believe in, and that person must be vetted. And a lot of times our young people don't really know what our values are, what our Constitution says, and what they should believe in. So therefore, this is our responsibility. We have to go on in life and teach people these things so that they will be able to make wise and intelligent decisions, not only based upon skin color, but based also upon, is this what's best for our nation? Is this what's best for me as a person? Is this what's best to continue our country to move forward? I hope you understand a little bit what I'm saying, trying to say there.
Yeah, absolutely I do. You know, and I think another problem, and after this loss, of course, I was not a Mitt Romney fan. He wasn't even my last choice, though I did end up voting for him. You know, I'm afraid, and I think it's slowly changing, Emory. Maybe you can give us your thoughts on this. You know, I worked very diligently for Ted Cruz. We've got Marco Rubio. I mean, we've got all sorts of young, rising superstars. We're looking at, again, Stanley Mack over in Alabama 7th. Brian Cahill, he didn't make it, but another young, outstanding veteran. Oh, by the way, thank you for your service as a brother in arms of mine. Tony Martinez up in Minnesota. We've got some outstanding young minority conservatives already in our ranks serving in D.C. now. I think maybe it's going to take a little bit longer, but do you think that perhaps the cliche, which probably isn't so much a cliche, that the Republican Party looks old and white? And, you know, I'm just a 50-year-old man, roughly. I'm not old by any stretch of the imagination, but I look at my own party and I'm disgusted with it. You know, right now I'm so upset with John Boehner, it's just not even funny.
You see, another thing, too, is they've also been taught through the years that the Republican Party is bad. They're the racist. Democrat Party is your friend, which is a lie. And if they take a look at themselves, over the past, I'll just go back 25, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, if you want to go back that far. You look at what has the Democrat Party done for black people? What have they done for anybody? Nothing. They split the family. They've preached abortion, killed off a lot of black people. They have made laws that are detrimental to the black family. They have made laws that are detrimental to the progress of America and the free enterprise system. So they need to look at which party has passed the laws to make this country prosperous, to make this country grow. Well, you only can come up with one conclusion to that. We have to get these facts out. We have to let the people know that you have to look at America as a whole, not by race, not by dividing us, but by bringing us together, and not with cliches, and not by using doublespeak, as our president did yesterday in his second inauguration speech. You know, we're not here to use code words, but we're here to tell you the truth. And that truth is, yes, we have to work together, but it has to be a real togetherness, a togetherness that espouses the principles of our Constitution, the togetherness that engages us to work together to be able to say that we love one another, that we love one another to the fact that we know God, that we love our country, that we love our future, that we love our children, and that we want to see them prosper and to be better and to have more than this generation did. That's what it's going to take. And it's going to take telling of the truth. It's going to take espousing the principles of conservatism, of the Constitution of the United States, our founding principles, going back and looking at what our founders wrote in the Federalist Papers, and in just looking at our businesses and what it takes to make them thrive, and that is with the government keeping their hands off. You can't have a prosperous economy. Right. You can't have a prosperous economy when the government's making all kinds of rules and regulations to hold it down.
Absolutely. So
I'm going to drop, ladies. Emery, it was great talking to you. Conservative Nation Radio will help you in any way. You know, we've got Traditional American Movement. We've got two great websites, a well-listened-to network of radio shows. So anything we can do to help link to your website, vice versa, we're here for you, Emery. Ladies, great job. I'm going to drop in and listen offline.
Okay, guys. And thank you, Michael. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we have Vincent, who is the winner of the Free Runaway Slave DVD, and he has some comment for you, Emery. So conservativenationradio.org is proud to welcome. We have a former Navy SEAL, Cara Higbee, to the Sound of Freedom with Hig and Rich, Thursdays at 7, Eastern, 6 Central. Carl's a well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. I guess nobody told the guys in the White House not to mess with the Navy SEALs. Carl Higbee is a real patriot who's talked the talk, walked the walk. So listen to The Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Restless Solar, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama touched on several items within his second-term wish list during his inaugural address yesterday, but said little about the economy. In fact, Obama did not utter the word unemployment and said the word jobs just twice. By comparison, he spoke far more about passing legislation to combat climate change and protect same-sex couples. The House will vote tomorrow on a measure that would suspend the nation's debt limit until May 19th. The plan also calls on Congress to pass a budget, something the Senate has not done since 2009. Failure to do so within that time period would result in lawmakers losing their congressional pay. Nebraska Governor Dave Heineman has approved an alternative route for the Keystone XL oil pipeline. The State Department rejected the pipeline in 2011, citing concerns that it would have passed over an environmentally sensitive area of Nebraska known as the Sandhills region. But Heineman is now asking the State Department to once again consider the pipeline and its new route. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Okay, and we are back live with Women Patriots. The number to call is 1-718-305-7176. And Vincent, you are live, and what do you have to say to Emery?
Well, first of all, I want to say greetings to the people on the show, Conservative Nation. I just got plugged into you all a couple of weeks ago. You know, Barbara, you know, I got to call her my she's my homegirl because she's not too far away in Raleigh, North Carolina. And,
welcome.
And, you know, I consider it an honor to be here listening to Mr. McClendon. You know, one thing that I've noticed about people who are black and conservative like I am, I seem to feel like I get an injection of common sense whenever I hear these people speak because they talk straight up. They don't talk with long, swelling words and everything. They just tell you the truth. They tell you what's straight up. And see, we need more people like that. We don't need this, you know, just like he said about Barack Obama yesterday, you know, he's got cold words in his speech and everything. We need people who need to be upfront, straight up, you know. And one thing, too, that bothers me about a lot of conservatives and Republicans is that we get intimidated every time, you know, the liberals get to talking and everything, and we allow them to get their message out, but we won't get ours out. And see, it's refreshing to see somebody like this, you know, like Emery McClendon or Alveda King or Alfonso Rachel or any of the rest of these people, you know, because they get out here, they speak up front, they speak clearly, and you really can't come up with an excuse of why you don't understand what they're saying.
I appreciate that, and you're absolutely right. And one of the reasons why the left uses the tactics that they use is because they want to intimidate. They want to shut us up. They want to shut you up. They want to shut any conservative up. And one thing that I don't understand about us conservatives is that we always let them carry the water. And you're absolutely right. We have to learn how to first listen and then come back with the facts and with ideas and our conservative principles that will make them actually think, that will make them actually say, hey, wait a minute, maybe I've been talking too much here and not listening. So we don't have to come up with any kind of slick message or anything like that. Just tell the truth, like you said. Tell the truth. When they say that KKK was formed by the Republican Party, just come back with the facts and say, oh, no, you're wrong here, and I would suggest that you sit down and grab you an encyclopedia or go on the Internet and check out the facts and whatever, and you'll find out that the KKK was actually started by the Democrat Party, and it was a tool that was used to keep blacks down. The same thing with the Civil Rights Act. When you find out which party actually was behind the passing of it, and some of the statements that were made by some of the Democrats, including our President Johnson, they hated the Civil Rights Act. They didn't want it to be passed, you know. And, yep. And we can go on and on and on. Even today, you know, when you look at differences between the things that the conservatives in our Congress wants to pass, the things that those who believe in freedom and liberty and equality want to do, But the other side continues to break it down. They continue to make it difficult. And when they say compromise, what they mean is for conservatives to shut up and get out of the way and let them just roll over us like some asphalt machine or something. But we have to stand up and say, no, this is the way it is. This is what we believe in, and then articulate that in a way that they can understand. I ran into a lot of people, especially a lot of young people, who say, you know, after talking to you and you taking the time to explain these things to me, I really believe that I'm conservative. But a lot of people, and especially black people and minorities, are afraid to step out of the box because they feel that they're going to be hurt. And it is tough because once you step outside of that box, you're going to receive a lot of persecution, not only from within the own walls of your house, but your relatives and other people of your same skin color, because they don't quite understand why you want to go that route, because all of their lives they've been taught that it's wrong. But we have to now stand up and show that actually things have been flipped upside down and the truth needs to come out. So thank you very much for your words of encouragement, and you're absolutely right.
Yes, and it's something I wanted to add, too. You know, a lot of times when it comes time to vote, people say when you vote, you're putting your voice out there. And I hope I don't offend anybody by saying this, but I really don't believe that, because it's like, okay, so how do I put my voice out there when I'm not voting? And what I've done in my little corner of the world here, I've done like the lady's done. I set me up a radio station here on Blog Talk Radio, and I it's just to let people know that, yeah, I'm not nationally known or anything, not trying to be nationally known, but just to let people know that here's an individual in a little corner of America who is speaking his mind and letting people know what he feels about this country and how it's being run, and giving his point of view on how things are going and everything. Because, you know, when you cast your vote, you know, people can look at it and say, oh, he voted for so-and-so, but they don't know why you voted for so-and-so, you know. And see, that's why I really do honestly believe that vote is part of it, but a lot of us need to get out there, stop depending on the government to get things done for us, speak out, find some kind of way to speak out, you know. It doesn't mean you have to be in front of millions of people on a podium or something like that, but just find some kind of way to get your message out, because, you know, if enough of us get to talking and we start, you know, injecting common sense into the community, you know, a lot of people will start to listen to us, you know, and forget this compromising, you know, because, you know, one of the things I tell people, you know, one of the things that has hurt this country is we compromise too much. And it's really not a compromise. It's basically just backing down and saying, okay, we'll do it your way. But when you stand on your guns and you say, look, this is what I believe, this is how I'm going to do it, and I'm not backing off. This fiscal cliff thing, I was like, hey, if it takes us going off the fiscal cliff in order for us to get, you know, to stand on our guns, well, we're just going to have to go over the fiscal cliff, you know. And but we need to stop the compromise as conservatives, as Republicans, as Christians, whatever. But we need to stand on our two feet and let these people know this is where we stand, this is the line in the sand, and we're not going to draw another line for you to cross.
Amen, brother. And you're absolutely right. And once again, when I first started out doing this, my goal was to honor our veterans, honor our troops, honor our first responders, do things within the community to let people know that, hey, you have a voice. One person saying one thing to one other person, you've saved that soul. Some people are unsavable. Some people will never understand. Some people don't want to understand. But your one voice speaking to another voice changes. I didn't set out to do anything to make a name or anything like that. My goal was to stand up for the truth, get out the message, and even if I only talked to one person, converted one person, because one person talked to me. I remember when I first started down this road, I ran into a lot of rough territory. And there was a guy that I worked with. He told me, he says, hey, stick to your guns, never compromise, learn as much as you can, and defend what you believe in, and you'll go a long ways. And he was absolutely right. One of the things that we have to do as conservatives, as you had just previously said, is to stand firm. As you stand firm, people watch that. When they see you not backing down, that gives them the courage to come and stand with you. Do you get that?
Oh, yes.
Mm. Absolutely. Okay, and Vincent, you're going to love this movie, and it's going to be something you're going to want to share with all your friends and your family because it really has a powerful message to it. So I do need to go to a break.
I'm so glad of this because I never win anything.
Well, there you go. And I'm telling you, I was very moved, and it was very insightful, and I think this also will help get the message across. And a lot of your Alveda King that's in the movie and Herman Cain, and, you know, so I think you're really going to love it. So we're going to go to a break here, and we'll be right back. Emery, do you have a little more time to give us tonight?
Yeah, I can stay a little longer. Thank you.
Okay, all right, well, hang tight then.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are 4 times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day, and the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor or mentor, give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity, security, and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. And we are back with Women Patriots. If you have a question or want to call in, the number is 1-718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. We're talking with Emery McClendon, Tea Party leader, among other things. And I believe Bing has a question for Emery. So, Bing, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Emery. A question, a couple comments. First, I'll get the comments out of the way, man. I administrate traditionalamericanmovement.com, and if there's anything that I can do to help you out, man, just please let me know. Brenda and Barbara's got my email and all that kind of stuff, so, you know, just get with me and we'll get your links up there and that kind of thing. And Vincent, too, if you want to get on over there, we'll get your show links up and that kind of stuff and get you promoted a little bit over there, man. So, we are basically like, I guess it would be like almost like a biker bar, but you leave your colors at the door. In other words, we're autonomous when you come in, but we're conservative. And we don't allow liberals in. We're very strict on that. I did watch Runaway Slave about 3 times, man. It's one of those movies where I have to watch it a few times because I want to pick up on all of the things that are going on. And Emery, we also, on our show, me and Michael, who called in earlier, on our show this weekend, on Sunday, we have co-producer Harmon Caslow from the Ayn Rand Atlas Shrugged series movies, and he's
wow,
been down.
Yeah.
So if you, yeah, so if you want to call in and be on, you know, on the game, man, please give us a call. Vincent, you too. So, you know, everybody. But I do have a question, and one is the and, you know, I tell you what, you guys were, you know, I hate this hyphenated kind of thing that we're, you know, African-Americans or we're this and that. I would not even know. If you guys didn't tell me, I wouldn't know. Because I don't know. Yeah, I ain't seen. You know what I'm saying? I don't care even. But I kind of don't like that hyphenated type of thing that we're an Asian American, we're a German American in my case, or whatever it might be. You know, I just don't like using that. I mean, I live in Tennessee. I'm, you know, just a regular old country boy. But I'm wondering, as far as the black church, okay, if we want to talk about the different churches and so on, how do you feel about the black church talking about political issues and talking about things? Because to me, I think they shouldn't, you know. And I don't think that it's a crime for the churches to sit there. I know that it is, you know, they might lose their status, but that's a government issue that they've infiltrated and, you know, through the years to the churches. And I was just wondering as far as what you think. How do you think that the churches should respond to some, or I guess in their sermons and so on, should actually deal with conservatism and the you know, average day-to-day workings of the American government? Because it does have some kind of meaning in the church, doesn't it?
I agree with you totally. And first of all, I'm going to say the same thing that you said about the color thing. You'll never hear me bringing it up. And that's something that I despise, too, all the hyphenated and whatnot and, you know, putting labels on one another. You know, hey, we all bleed red, white, and blue. At least we should. And that's the purpose of us being here in America. We came here to be one. We are here to be one. This country can only progress if we're one. We can't have our little groups and communities all separated away from one another and expect this country to continue to be great. And then secondly, to address your statement about the church, I agree. The church, regardless of which church it is, whether it be black churches, white churches, Asian churches, or whatever, your primary responsibility is to teach people the truth. Part of that truth is to teach the love of God through believing and trusting in what is right. What is what makes a country? What makes patriotism? What makes you believe in the things that you believe in? And part of that is your belief in the foundations of where you live. And, of course, we know that the American dream, the American experiment, is based upon Judeo-Christian ethics. It's based upon what our founders believed to be the right way to go, in which those of us who know conservative principles and who know what made America great, we know that this is the right way to go. So, yes, these churches should incorporate all of this. But, however, in the black churches, I've learned through experience, the reason why they try to hold the people back is because these black, again, I'll use the term, predators in the pulpit, they want the power. They want people to follow them, even much more than God, if you want to get right down to it. And especially they want you on the government, though, because that way they have money coming in, they have power, and they're able to sit down at the table and wield a little bit of that power with those that are in power or within the government. So the government only, you know, will give them their little place at the table, pour in their funding to those leaders simply because those leaders have the people under control. That must stop. We have to show people that you don't need and behind the pulpit to lead and guide you every step of the way. What you need is individual responsibility. What you need to do is to realize the opportunity is there for you, and as long as you put your shoulder to the wheel, as I said before, you can make it.
Okay, well,
So thank you, man. That was a great response. I just wanted to say one more thing, and then I'll sit there, ladies, and listen to the rest of the show. It's great. Barack Obama finally finished something Monday, or Sunday, actually. He finished his first job. When you think about it. Because he didn't hold a job. He wasn't a congressman. He didn't hold a community he finished his first job. So I guess we have to give kudos where kudos are due, and I'll give him that one. All right? But like I said, it's going to be Obama Unleashed the rest of the year, or for four more years. And thank you, guys. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ben, for calling in. Well, Emery, I want to thank you so much for giving us your time tonight. I have really enjoyed this, and it's been inspirational for me. Barbara, did you have anything to add?
Oh, I just really want to thank you again for all that you do, all that you've done. Your message is so powerful, and I appreciate it. And I'm pushing the movie because I saw it too, and it's a very powerful movie. I guess I'm in awe now of what else to say. But we really appreciate you coming on and explaining a lot. And where can people find you?
People can find me, first of all, at my website for the troops, which is www.armad.net. That's armad.net. That's Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day. You can leave a message on the contact us spot for anything dealing with the military. You can also find me on Political Chips blog, Political Chips blog. I have a series of blog posts that I've written there. I don't write as much as I want to. I'm still working full time. I'm not retired yet. So I do a lot of hours at work. I do a lot of other projects. I go do a lot of speaking. I do a lot for the Tea Party groups in Indiana and Ohio. But I'm willing to do interviews, willing to do whatever I can. I write letters to the editors. And that's one of the things I wanted to let your audience know, too. Letters to the editors is a very powerful tool. If you have something to say and you want your message out, believe it or not, many, many people read those letters in the newspapers. Submit your letters to other newspapers because they will accept them also. I found that out a couple years ago. I submitted to Chicago Tribune, New York Times, Washington Post, Atlanta, newspapers around the country, and they actually published your letters and your messages. It spread even further. And people are hungry for the truth, believe it or not. They really are. So God bless you, and thank you for having me on, and I really appreciate it. And it's going to take all of us working together, as the president said, but that togetherness has to be in truth, because it is
absolutely
true. All men are created equal, and that we are endowed with certain inalienable rights by our creator, not from the government, not from the president. And you can make it if you try. God bless you.
Well, thank you so much, Emery.
Thank you.
And I don't know, did you want to keep listening or – if you want to, we can do that. I'm just going to be bringing in our next guest tonight to do a little bit on this Roe versus Wade, or that's fine if you've got other things to do. So.
Oh, God bless you. Hey, I have you on. I'm on Blog Talk Radio, too. I can just turn the volume back up if you want to disconnect so you don't
All
get
right.
any noise.
Well, thank
okay.
you so much, Emery, again, for your time. Thank you very
okay,
much.
Thank you, and God bless.
Thanks.
Okay, so we need to join. What do you get? Okay, guys, what do you get when you put a former Marine together with a Catholic? You get the Warrior Catholic Show right here on conservativenationradio.org every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time. Chris isn't afraid to wave the banner of Christianity in a world becoming hostile to biblical principles. Actually, former Marines aren't afraid of anything, are they? Join Chris to talk about Christianity, the Holy Bible, and God's perpetual plan for mankind's salvation. He might also talk about his time in the commandant's own Marine Drum and Bugle Corps in Washington, D.C. The Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts, Wednesdays, 7 to 9 Eastern, 6 to 8 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
When a call for a medic went out, Allen left a covered position to run to render aid, that was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Allen was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Adkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Allen would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Allen, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Allen earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Allen became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
You're listening to Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, The Beauty and the Brain, on conservativenationradio.org.
Hey, and now, hopefully, Thomas, can you hear me? Thomas? Okay, we're having a little bit of a connection problem getting Thomas on the line. Barbara, I don't know if you got a little bit of spill you want to give the guest, and I'm going to try to call out to Thomas and see if we can get him on the line. Thomas is what we refer to as Padre, and I asked him to come on for a segment. This is obviously the 40th anniversary of the death of the children, the Roe versus Wade court and the Supreme Court ruling. And so we do want to take some time to recognize that atrocity. And they are doing a march in Washington, D.C. Rick Santorum's going to be there with PatriotVoices.com and many others in support of the children. So I'm going to dial real quick. Barbara, if you've got something you want to say, I'm going to see if I can get Thomas on the line here.
Okay, and speaking of that, the abortions 40 years later, you know, this president turns around and he says, you know, everything's for the kids. And, you know, meanwhile, what he does is, you know, he says everything's for the kids, and what in the world is going on? Sorry. But yet, he'll allow abortions. I don't understand the liberal thinking. It just totally baffles me how they're so against one thing and so much for another thing that I just really, honestly, don't understand it. Okay, we've got a couple of callers that are on the line, so let me grab, somebody else grabbed that caller. Who else do we have in there?
I think we have Thomas now. Thomas?
Yeah. And we have Thomas on two lines.
Okay. I don't know which one is him, and I'm not touching him because we got
me either.
Him, so we're going to keep him. Hey, Thomas, welcome to Women Patriots.
Yeah, your show doesn't like me no more.
Oh, I don't know.
We love you.
Blog Talk has been doing weird stuff. I know I called in one night and I couldn't hear or nothing. I had to call in from my cell phone. It's really crazy. So, but no, we love you, Thomas. And I wanted to have you especially for this segment because I know that you do your pro-life Fridays and you have a very special reason to be pro-life. And so on this 40th anniversary, I just thought it would be fitting for you to call in and, you know, say a few things and then maybe give us a little prayer in support of the unborn children.
Not a problem. Well, the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, as you guys know, the mainstream media just kind of, they've not really mentioned it because it goes against everything that they're about. They've been celebrating the pomp and circumstance of the most pro-abortion supporting president in the history of our country, you know, the same president who thinks that his children are more important than all the other American children, you know. Anyway, I won't go there.
I think we've been there once, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you're preaching to the choir.
As I've shared many times before, I was targeted for abortion by doctors because I was born in 1974. I had an illness which they didn't know even what it was. So rather than incubate and try to save my life, they were trying to convince my mom to abort me. Fortunately, she said no. And so they had no choice but to incubate me and save my life. I spent 104 days of my first 4 months of life in an incubator because I was born how many weeks premature? I was born 7 weeks premature. And so I was born in like the 33rd week, and I was really undernourished, if you will. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Abortion has affected me because of the fact that I have a sister, many, many, many cousins, some of which have had upwards of 5+ abortions. And so it has affected me, and really to the point, it really has affected me because of the fact that Margaret Sanger's whole intent and purpose was because she didn't think that we were worthy of American citizenry. We were good enough, according to her and the other liberals, we were good enough to pick their cotton, but we wasn't good enough to have American citizenship.
Amen.
And then you've had multiple Supreme Court decisions that's affirmed abortion, but yet these are the same cats who cry over someone killing a seal or cutting down a tree, or even, you know, they were morally outraged over the shooting in Newtown, as you should have been. But let me tell you something. Don't pretend to be outraged at the loss of our kids when you can't even protect the unborn. Don't tell me you care. The only thing you're doing is using that as a tool to advance your agenda.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's so sad, Thomas. It's so sad. I've been in discussion and they call them parasites. And I was just so disgusted. It just turned my heart and my stomach when I had somebody refer to that child as a parasite. It is just, and it goes to the overall morals and values, and we're losing them. And this is one of the big reasons why, is the devaluation of life. And I was hoping that you could also lead us in a little prayer for the children.
I can do that. Dear Heavenly Father, you said in your word, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your seed may live. That was your word, Lord God. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for these ladies tonight here who truly care about the sanctity of life, Lord God. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that they are willing to truly take a stand of for you. There are many, Lord God, who say they're pro-life because it's against their personal belief. But what about it being against your personal belief, Lord God? What about that? What about that? Father, so many times in this movement, Lord God, people don't truly want to stand up and be accountable. But when we're about kingdom business, we know that we're pro-life because you laid down your life for us. Father, I thank you for Brenda. I thank you for Barbara. Father, I thank you for their heart, for their sincerity. And Father, we thank you that those many, many millions of babies that never even got to see the light of day, the very babies that you jointly knitted, that you creatively knitted in the womb, Lord God, that they're in your presence. But Father, our hearts also grieve for the many millions of women, post-abortive women, who were deceived. Because according to a statistic, Lord, and you already know this, but I'm just putting this out there, 68 to 70% of all women every year who get abortions don't really want them, but they're forced into them. They're told that they don't have any other choice, or that they're too poor. Their way of life will be messed up. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, and I also repent for the arrogance of those who think that they can pick and choose who lives and who dies. Have mercy on their souls. Father, raise up more pro-life warriors who are willing to stand for you. And as I've said many times before, Lord God, and I was soundly criticized for it. And you in your own way, I guess it kind of saved me. But Lord God, I wasn't going to vote for the Republican nominee. And you know why. Because their life issue is the one issue that I will never compromise on. Because, Lord, you never compromised on us. So we give you glory, honor, praise, Lord God, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Oh, thank you,
thank
Thomas.
You.
I have tears in my eyes for those precious little children. So,
and you know, Thomas, I, you are so right. You know, and that's what I started my little talk about before when Brenda was trying to get you on the line. You know, those tree lovers who think it's okay to get an abortion. And now up in New York, it's okay with Cuomo to get a full-term abortion. Now, that's murder. It's disgusting. It's horrifying.
Let me say something about that. He's going to be, and excuse the term, not going to be sacrilegious. He's going to be crucified for that.
Uh-huh.
He will be
absolutely
crucified for that.
And you know, how can they justify it? Because they're delivering the baby anyway. They're just sucking their brains out. Why not deliver the child and give it a chance
right
for life? Give it the chance
right
to live. What? Why? Why? You know, why?
Well, I'm grateful. I'm grateful your mom, stuck to her guns and had you.
Right.
I really am, because you have a wonderful message. You really do, and I'm grateful for it. Thank you. And thank your mom for me, if you can.
I will. I do all the time.
And Thomas,
yes.
I want to congratulate you on your new job.
Yes. Well,
thanks.
Congratulations.
So I was so pleased to see that. So God does answer prayers. And
yes,
that's why it's so important that we keep up the fight. So, again, I want to thank you. I do need to take a quick break here, Thomas. You can hang with us or go back. I know you're watching Kansas and Kansas or somebody
Kansas
doing something
out there.
Okay. And so, but I really do appreciate you taking the time to come on and help us with that benediction and that sharing your story with us tonight. So thank you so very much. And
you're
you know
welcome.
I love you.
Love you too.
All
God
right.
bless.
Thanks, Thomas.
God bless you, Thomas.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Don't let the liberal media convince you that conservatives like us are in the minority. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1. If you respect American history, traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's a traditionalamericanmovement.com. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up, exchange ideas, and find out what's new in the conservatory community. Join up, post your writings, swap ideas, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com, and I hope to see you there soon. Well, Barbara, I think it's been a pretty good show tonight.
I do, too.
Had a lot of great callers. Wonderful having Emery here to talk more about the Tea Party. And
yes. Learned a lot.
To the editors. Yes. And one voice can make a difference. He has but one voice, but look how far that voice has carried him all across this nation to spread his message. And Vincent, I want to again congratulate Vincent. I post my email again here to send me your address. We'll get that movie in the mail to you. And want to thank you for tuning in to conservativenationradio.org. And you can
I'm
find
glad
us at-
to be here.
Awesome.
Yes.
So,
yes, it's a really good movie. You're going to love it.
Yes, it's an awesome. I watched it and I was just really enlightened. And I think it will help you in your endeavors, being there in the North Carolina by yourself out there, feeling like you might be alone. You can use this movie, have some popcorn parties, maybe help spread the message a little bit that way. So I think you're really going to enjoy it. So, and I appreciate you calling in tonight on the show. We are about 10 minutes to the hour. I am expecting a call from Chris Ricketts of the Catholic Warrior Show. That is our Wednesday night show. It airs from 7 to 9. You don't have to be a Catholic to tune in to listen to his show. He does more than just faith. He also talks politics, and boy, do we have a lot of things to talk about in politics. But we do want to thank you all for calling in and listening to our show and to conservativenationradio.org. This is Women Patriots. And Barbara, did you have anything you wanted to add?
And no, I'm actually still waiting for Chris Ricketts to call in and talk about his show. But
yeah.
I don't know where he is.
Well, he just might be lost out. Maybe he's out there watching a game, too. I don't know. There's basketball.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to call and they're just not getting through because I don't know what's wrong with this.
Well, you know, actually Blog Talk had a thing posted. They were having problems with people calling in and they had an alternate number. I didn't have any trouble getting in, but I know Duke has had several troubles calling in. And I know we were having problems getting Thomas on the line. So I think that there's just been a whole, there's a whole thing with, even Twitter in the last few days has been acting really strange, being hard to get on there and get some tweets out. But our biggest rant today was on this gun debacle that don't let them tell you it's about the children. They've had this bill in Congress for 2 years. This is about gun control. This is about taking your guns. This is about government tyranny. And we need to be loud and we need to be active on this point because actually in the American Revolution, the British were, when the first shots were fired, the British were coming for the guns. This is a serious issue. Law-abiding citizens didn't kill those children.
Right. And
sorry, guys.
Before I forget to mention it, Hillary will be testifying tomorrow, so I'm going to tune in, and I do listen while I'm at work. I have my earphones on. Unless a phone call comes in, then I have to take my work phone call. But I think it's about darn time. I wish she would have done it a week ago before she wasn't in office anymore. But hopefully,
well, that was intentional. You know that was intentional.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
She didn't want to leave her office in disgrace because there was malpractice in the Department of State. And actually, Teresa has posted in here for us. So if Chris can't get in. The Catholic Warrior Show 6 to 8 on the 23rd is featuring Doug Guile. And I don't know who that is, so I can't expound on that. But I'm sure it's going to be a great show. Chris always has a great show. Doug Guile on the Warrior Catholic tomorrow night here on conservativenationradio.org. So we hope that you'll tune in for that one, that show also. But yeah, Benghazi, guys. We cannot forget Benghazi. This is a treasonous act. I'm pretty sure there was something going on. You don't come out and lie the very next day when you know it's not a video. There's the treasonous act. You want to know what the treasonous act was? Okay, they said the protest in Egypt was actually about this video, but it wasn't. It was actually, and I read this the day after Benghazi. I was picking it up on the foreign news. That it was about the blind sheik, and it was actually organized by the brother of the Awasaki that we had just killed, you know, weeks before with a drone strike. That's what the Egyptian protest was about. Benghazi was not a protest. Benghazi was a planned terrorist attack on our consulate that killed 4 men, Americans, and one of those happened to be an ambassador. That is an act of war. We did nothing to help them. We didn't have adequate security. And here is the act of treason. The very next day, the President of the United States came onto the television with his Secretary of State, Clinton, and said, this is about a video. What happened after he said that? We had riots and attacks in 52 countries against our embassies. Our president spread acts of violence against the United States embassies by lying on national television. And they, you know what they did? They arrested the man that made the video, and they have not gotten one of those responsible for these attacks. And you know why?
Oh, they did get one, but they let him go because they didn't have evidence or some crap like that.
No, they had him on TV. They had him on camera. They watched this thing in live time. This is a cover-up of massive proportions. This act needs to be thoroughly investigated, and we need to make sure we stay on top of our senators and our congressmen to make sure that they do actually investigate this to the fullest extent of the law. I am just, you know, there we go. That's another one of my hot spots of Benghazi, because we wouldn't have had those 52 riots if our Secretary of State and our president hadn't gone on TV and told the whole Muslim world that there was this video. That prior to that had only had 400 hits. And there have been videos against Muhammad since that, but we haven't seen the riots. This was a lie. This lie caused burning of our flags, it endangered our people all across the world, and they need to be held accountable. It was his department, his State Department, under his watch, and I just hope that they do something about it. I'm not going to hold my breath, but I do hope that they do something about it, because it's just, it's sickening, is what it is. And now...
Because not only that, they told them the help wasn't very far away, and they told them to stand down.
They were there, like, this thing went on for overnight.
Hours. Yep.
You can't tell me we couldn't get there.
Not when they were watching it live.
No, I'm not buying that. I don't buy it. And I don't buy it. And where are these 20 people they took out of there?
Good question.
Why have they not testified? Where are they? I want
good
to know.
Question.
Something was going on in Benghazi that was hidden from the American people that needs to be brought in. And if nothing else, it needs to be brought to Congress, because Congress didn't know about it either. And we, despite what the president thinks, our Constitution, we have the judicial branch, we have the executive branch, and we have the congressional branch. We have three distinct branches of government. It was done that way to prevent dictatorships.
Yes.
And he needs to answer for what was and what his actions did.
Absolutely.
And so, yes, Hillary Clinton tomorrow, if she doesn't fall down and hit her head, is expected to just. Sorry. I just throw that in there.
That's okay. We all feel the same way, Brenda.
You know, what's ludicrous is that these football players get these concussions and they want to go right back out and play again. You know?
Right.
So either this was a more serious incident than what they were telling us, or it's just a bunch of, you know, run around in circles, duck and hide, try and catch me now. So.
That's my guess.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to thank you all again for tuning in. I'm just going to play a little song to kick us on out of here. A Good Girl by Carrie Underwood. Not that we're good girls, but hey, we are good to listen to here on conservativenationradio.org. Be sure and tune in for the Catholic Warriors show tomorrow night at 6 Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. And let's be watching those Hillary Clinton hearings to see what goes on. Thank you all and have a good night.
Thanks, all.
Hey, Vincent?
Yes.
Vincent, are you there? Hey, be sure and drop me your address, and I'll get that in the mail. It'll probably be a week or two before you get it.
Okay, I'll already put it there. It's already there.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, and thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, I appreciate you all having me on.
Oh, we enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.